When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Hey, Shauna here, and it's true, the millennial generation is really unlike any before it. There's good stuff like technology and digital apps, and then not so good stuff like new money worries and a changing job climate. Today's guest, referred to by Forbes as the millennial expert, Andrew Au, agrees that the millennial generation isn't lazy. They're just different.
There's a lot of stereotypes here in terms of millennials are lazy and entitled and they don't care about their finances. And I think it's actually, it couldn't be more opposite.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hi, this is Elton John here. Throughout my US tour last year, we heard from thousands of fans that financial security and financial planning are hugely important to them. So important that David and I are continuing this vital conversation into 2023. Together with the Alliance for Lifetime Income, I'm spreading the word about the importance of protected income, which is money you're guaranteed to get. Like me, I'm sure you have big plans for your next chapter. Protected income from an annuity helps ensure you have all your bases covered so you can have the financial freedom to tick off your bucket list. The first step is to decide what's on your bucket list. Then meet with your financial advisor to ask if you have protected income and get their help making a plan that fits your unique financial goals. Join me and my friends at the Alliance for Lifetime Income. Together, we can help make financial freedom in retirement a reality for more Americans, starting with you. Go to protectedincome.org today.
Andrew embodies everything it means to be a quote-unquote millennial expert. He's a modern business leader who helps these big global brands know how to translate millennial. And at the age of 22, he was the youngest person to be inducted to the Entrepreneurs Organization and is among the few Canadians to be named to the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. And to top it off, he has received over 35 domestic and international awards for business innovation and thought leadership. A part of his work with these global brands has also been calling out traditional banks he works with and asking them if they're really doing enough to help us get out of debt, seeing as 3 out of every 4 millennials are in debt. We talk about what banks need to be doing, why digital banks are leading the way, and a few of the biggest money lessons he's learned from investing apps that will help you save for your own retirement. Let's get into the chat.
I mean, you have such a diverse and fascinating background, and I'm so excited to talk with you and learn from your expertise. I love that you're quoted by Forbes as the premier millennial expert. I think that is like such a fun title, right?
Yeah, so they say. It's funny because we, you know, I spent a lot of time studying this generation and Gen Z, and you know, for millennials in particular. Over 3,000 every single year. And so it's really cool to see just some of the trends over time. And it's funny because they're at this point in their lives where every major milestone's happening now.
Right.
Like,
when
you like 19 to 39, like, man, that's a big, big range. And so, you know, a lot of organizations from like a marketing perspective, from an HR perspective, they're shifting from mass to millennial because they've come of age. So now Everyone's trying to fight for them. So it's really, really fascinating to watch.
And I talk about this a lot on the podcast. Obviously, I'm an advocate for this. But I mean, when it comes to money, I really believe that the millennial generation and even the younger generation, Gen Z following behind them, They're very, very different. They have a very different set of, it's just a different world coming at them in terms of money. And 100%. A lot of people will argue back and forth with me, but is that something you see on your side as well?
Oh, it's completely changing. And I think that there's a lot of stereotypes here in terms of, you know, millennials are lazy and entitled and they don't care about their finances. And I think it's actually, it couldn't be more opposite. So my perspective on this is, you know, banks and financial institutions, look, they've been around for decades and decades, and they've always been around to help us lead successful lives by means of financial security. So that hasn't changed. But what I think has changed is, you know, the definition of success. And I would argue that, you know, for boomers, success was about stability. And so, you know, that's why these large companies made a lot of sense and hierarchy was well received. Stability was this vision of success. So then you get to the next generation, Gen X, which, you know, success was really about being sort of this young and affluent and just changing the relationship between time and reward. So that change. And then now you pivot to this generation where success is about pleasure. You know, and so like travel's a number one lifestyle value.
Yeah.
And some banks are getting that, you know, like Wealthsimple is an example. And this was like a couple months ago, I was on their homepage and right on the homepage in the banner, it says, invest in travel life.
Wow. Yeah.
And it didn't talk at all about 5% returns and, you know, and no commissions and things like that. And I thought that was a great example of a bank who at least understands the value or the definition of millennial success and the values. And, you know, it's paying off for them. I mean, they've got what, $4 billion in assets under management, $4 billion in investments. And the last stat that they were publishing was that 85% of the customer base is under 45. So for everybody who says, well, no, millennials aren't saving money, I say, well, look at the people, look at Wealthsimple, look at Acorns as an example. Well, they've captured the mindshare of this generation because they understand the values.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's crazy because experts, money experts. You know, I'm a CFP, but there are plenty of my counterparts that still want to live by those, you know, 10 set of rules or whatever it may be. That there's this checklist and that we all have to flow through this same progression through life. And I'm just really happy that we're finally standing up and having a different language around that, because I think it's really important for people to realize we're all different. So we're not going to go through the chute the same way.
Exactly. And because, you know, it all really stems from values. And I would say that if I look at millennials are very different. If you look at like the single defining moment of any generation, I would argue for millennials, it's the 2008, 2009 financial crisis.
Yes.
And so what we learned from that is that we cannot trust institutions, we cannot trust governments. And I mean, just look at the sequence of events. So you got what, September 15th, Lehman Brothers, they file for bankruptcy. 6 weeks later, you see the Bitcoin paper surface talking about a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. Like we value transparency. And I think that I would argue anyway, in the world of financial institutions and banking, there isn't a whole lot of trust and transparency. And I think that they're getting better with that. But it was like this, well, you need us anyway. So we don't really have to earn your loyalty. We're a crutch for you, an important crutch. And I think that that's changing, because now you've got these digital banks that are popping up where millennials are like, yeah, I mean, I'll pay for what I value, but I'm not going to pay for the overhead and infrastructure that you have that you need somebody to cover.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Like, we didn't have a whole lot of choices up until maybe even like 5 years ago, really was when the wave of doing things different, I think, it definitely started. And, you know, one of the things when we talk about banks, I know you're really passionate about this, is, you know, are banks doing enough to help us with our debt? Obviously, debt is probably one of the biggest money fears, and so many of us are in debt. And I think there's also this language out there that if you're in debt, somehow you're bad or you're doing things wrong, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But when we look at banks, even just traditional banks, you know, are they doing anything to help millennials with debt, or are they making it worse?
I think they are, you know, they're trying, but I think they could be trying harder, because a lot of times I'll sit down with bank execs and they'll say, well, what do they want? I mean, tell me what the unserved customer need is, and we'll invest in making that happen. And I tell them, it's right in front of you. Look at the app ecosystem as an example. That is a great reflection of what the unserved customer need is, because that's why they exist, because there's the service that's not being offered to them. So, you know, like Level Money is a really good example of this. And they were bought by Capital One. They bought by Capital One earlier this year. And basically what the app does is it takes your take home income. It takes out all of like your fixed expenses, your predictable expenses, and then it sets aside a little bit of money for savings. And then it'll tell you what is a spendable amount of money every month.
Interesting.
And that to me, like, that's a convenience that the banks are not offering. If you are sitting on troves and troves of data, and you know our spending habits, and you know generally demographics, and maybe we're going to be, you know, in the market to buy a home at some point in the next 5 years, then you have that data. You can run very mature machine learning models that are out there to predict what these needs are, and to be a little bit more predictive with the services that you put forward. So I say to the bank execs, look, we're in the market for conveniences, and look at the app ecosystem. Like Mint is another great one, which is free, and it's a tool to see all your finances in one place, looks at your cash flow, assesses that, automatically assigns budgets. That's what's missing. But they don't seem to be prioritizing that yet.
Do you think it's just because the bigger banks are like, well, you know, we've got this much money, this is the way we've been doing things, and we don't need to change? Or do they recognize that maybe they're going to get outrun by, you know, these smaller startup banks that are really providing service?
Yeah, you know what? It's I think a lot of them are hitting that analysis paralysis state. And to their credit, it's not just emerging technology that is disrupting them. I mean, we, you know, the PSD2, which is the Payment Services Directive in the EU, they are changing legislation around how banks control our information and our finances. And so they're also being disrupted by regulation. So in a nutshell, like what PSD2 will bring is it's letting customers use third parties to manage their finances. So, you know, in theory, I could use Facebook to pay my bills and do e-transfers and monitor how I spend my money without ever having to deal with Bank of America as an example. That's what PSD2 is going to bring. And so, you know, that's in the EU right now, and that's emerging, and that's causing a lot of turmoil, I would say, because people are like, well, the banks are saying, what do we do about this? So banks now are sitting back thinking, yeah, I got to delight the customer, et cetera, but we have to rethink what business we're in. And so I think I personally see there's two kind of camps that kind of come up. Is one is you've got the people that are trying to build this marketplace, and so they're you know, banks are going out to third parties to get more services through the vendors, and sometimes they're transparent and say, hey, we're partnering with company X, or they're trying to do like a white label arrangement. And I guess, you know, in that scenario, it's like you're this one stop shop, like you're curating multiple services. The other camp that I'm seeing is banks that are saying, listen, we don't want to be that one throat to choke. So we will be the platform that will provide, you know, premium access. And we got to find a way to monetize the premium access, but to our customer data, so that vendors that are building, you know, businesses on top of our infrastructure, we're selling essentially the customer data to them to then deliver these cool experiences. So that is like a fundamental change in the business model. That's what I think they're trying to figure out. Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah. So how long do you think those regulations in the UK will take for it to get something like that over here?
Well, you know, I think I look at GDPR as an example about you know, data governance, and pretty much like every global company, I mean, they're kind of forced to comply with GDPR. I think in the next, so I parallel it to that. So I think if PSD2, I would say within the next, you know, 2 to 5 years, there's going to be some real business model changes that we're going to see from the banks. And I think you're going to see the two camps. You're going to see the marketplace players, and then you're going to see the platform players. But, you know, I also believe, though, in the short term, to win customer market share, you can still, you know, there's small things that you can do. You can still use, you know, machine learning models that are already out there that you can run in your data sets to proactively engage them. I think that, so they can do a bit of defense before or while they're also planning what their business model will be in the next 5 years.
Wow. That's fascinating. So like looking at it from like a consumer standpoint, how do you figure out maybe what is the best bank for you, or where you fit the best, you know, provided these tools? Like, is there any advice for consumers that are trying to navigate all of this?
Well, I think it's a good question. I mean, I think that it's about to get a lot better for customers because we're going to have way more options, way more conveniences, and banks are going to work, you know, a heck of a lot harder than they've had to in the past. Where I see there's an opportunity is for people to make a little bit of extra money working with these, you know, financial kickback apps. And you see, so as an example, like Rakuten or PayMe is an example. What these guys are doing is they're creating these apps that will give you cash back when you shop at specific retailers. And so you could take a look at who these retailers are. And if you're already shopping there anyway, what you do is you essentially connect your banking account with these platforms. And what they're getting out of it is obviously the spend data.
Sure.
And for retailers, super important because, yeah, you got loyalty programs, but maybe what, 5% of your shoppers are part of your loyalty program. You're hungry for that data, so they're willing to pay for that. And then you're also getting some kickback. So I think that we're seeing a big rise in that. There's a lot of these financial kickback apps that are popping up. I think it's a great way to earn a little bit of extra money. But again, that's predicated on you sharing that information with these apps. And I think consumers are okay with it. I think a lot of the times for millennials, they'll say, yeah, we're fine to share it so long as we're getting greater conveniences. But I think the challenge will be, and I think this is something to watch out for as a customer, is these newer players. I would really start to pay attention to what other cybersecurity standards and protocols, because like that's a huge, huge risk.
How do you figure that out though? Like how would you investigate that as a consumer?
Yeah. I mean, well, now that like banks are talking more and more about that, how they're using AI to fight off some of the evolving cybersecurity threats. I'm starting to see that now on, you know, financial institution homepages and apps like PayMe and Rakuten. Like they address that pretty thoroughly, because that's one of the biggest kickbacks. So I would look for that content. And if it's not there, I would question it. I think for any of the major banks, I'm starting to see them talk about that more publicly and openly as, you know, they're connecting to other APIs and things like that. But it should be pretty, you know, front-facing, customer-facing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. These are things that you should be looking at. I think it's really easy to be, I hate to use the word lazy because I've done that myself, but not investigate, not really like follow the track of where your money's at and the ethics of the company or whatever you can find. But if your money is someplace or your data is someplace, there's some responsibility there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's something from a customer standpoint that we should really sort of step up with. But again, it's going to get great because there's just lots of different platforms coming up. What's another one too that we hear a lot in the focus groups? Robinhood.
Yeah.
So I mean, like they made a ton of noise with like stock trading with no fees, right? Like that was their major thing. And so I mean, look, they're making money on the interest of the customer deposits or the float. But, you know, there is this freemium model where you can pay for more premium support. And, you know, it's again, convenience, one platform that lets you trade crypto and stock and options all in one app. So and they're probably going to IPO later this fall. So there's lots of these like amazing companies that are surfacing. So I think it's going to get really, really good. I just think the banks are, really trying to figure out how do we keep up? How do we offer more personalization, in the experience? And then realize too, they're realizing that it's got to be omni-channel. They're investing in like these chatbots and like customers are talking to them. And then when they connect by phone, they have to repeat themselves. So they're trying, right? So you got to integrate all of that. I think that's another area where banks need to focus on is how do you connect all the dots? Because it's got to be convenient. It's got to be one seamless customer experience. And now's the time. Look, you have to, you're not only being disrupted by technology, regulation is forcing you to have to innovate. Now's the time to rewrite the model. And there's tons of players out there. So I think it's also exciting for them. I think there's going to be a lot of acquisitions of some of these apps that we just talked about.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. Okay, listen, like many of you out there, I love Notion, our sponsor today. And I honestly use it every day for my notes and journaling. I also track our family expenses, and I manage all of our household to-dos. Notion has been such a lifesaver in helping me get a lot more organized, because that's not one of my strengths, without stressing me out. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. Notion is the AI-powered workspace that can summarize things like meeting notes and automatically generate action items and help you get answers to questions in seconds. It will honestly blow your mind. Notion is for everyone, whether you're a Fortune 500 company, you're a freelancer, you're starting a startup, or you're a student juggling classes and clubs, or you're somebody like myself that just really wants to get organized. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/ETM. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/ETM, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you are supporting our show, notion.com/ETM. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/ETM.
It's Tuesday, and that means we've got an Ask Shauna, and this one comes from Benjamin. And Benjamin says, "Hey, Shauna, thanks for all the podcast episodes. Every time I have a favorite new episode, another one comes up, and then I have a new favorite. I like that you keep it fresh. I have a question, and I'm not quite sure how to ask it best. There are lots of ideas out there around money, meaning apps, companies that provide products and services, etc. And I'm never really sure if something is right for me. I Google a lot of things, and sometimes the reviews are so mixed, I just never know what to do. Any ideas on how I can figure out what might be good for me, or even how I can vet certain companies and ideas?" Benjamin, this is a great question. And I agree, there is so much noise out there, and it can be really hard to figure out what makes sense for you. Even on this podcast, we have so many different guests, so many different topics. And my idea is just to bring you lots of ideas. And then, yeah, you got to do a little behind the scenes and figure out whether this works for you, because not everything works for everyone. And sometimes you might think something feels not right, and other times you might really jive with it. So I think it really comes down to a couple of things. First, I think you really have to think about, and this may seem really, this might seem crazy to even suggest this, but I think you really have to start with, what is the vision of life you want? That can tell you a lot about what products, companies, etc. will actually fit into that vision. Let me give you an example. I have a friend, and she wants to live in the Midwest, and she thinks that having guaranteed income in her retirement is really the sweet spot. She doesn't want to take on a ton of risk in the stock market, but knows that she's going to need a lot of cash well beyond her savings account. So that is where her quest is to find products and ideas for her money that really meet those needs. She's not interested in really fancy investment concepts or anything that you might classify as risky. Is she right? Is she wrong? Only she knows the answer to that question, but she vets out those products and companies that really align with her vision of life, and she tries to put blinders up so nothing else kind of gets in the way of that. And your vision, it can change, and it's going to change over time. Maybe you love risk right now, but maybe in a few years you're like, okay, not so much. And then I think the second thing is, yes, of course, you absolutely need to vet. I'm a huge fan of vetting. I vet every company that I've ever helped a client work with, whether it's life insurance or retirement or investing. And I'm not just talking about reading Yelp or Google reviews, because those are really opinion-based on someone else's vision of that company. So again, they're coming at it with their vision, not your vision. So you have to do your own investigation. And this really means, I think, talking to somebody at the company and asking the questions that you have to figure out whether you feel good about whatever they're offering. I'll give you another example. I had a friend that was convinced that they wanted to invest with one of these really popular investing apps. So, you know, I said, perfect. Why don't you email them and ask them some of the questions or talk to them directly and just make sure that, again, it aligns with your values, your vision, all of those sorts of things. And he was convinced that they wouldn't talk to him. But look, these companies survive on customers, so it's really in their best interest to make sure that you feel super comfy. So he had a few back and forth conversations, and his excitement over this particular app really dimmed. And he realized he wanted something that was really into social investing, and found out that this company really wasn't focused on social investing. And that part of it was really only accessible to higher net worth investors, which he was not. So he just went on to find another company. But that process, asking those questions, helped him figure out what works and what doesn't work. And yes, again, not every product or company is going to work for you. You really got to get your vision and then ask these questions. Ask every single question you have until you feel comfy, and don't rely on the reviews so much, or even what someone says on this podcast. Of course, if the reviews are like flat out bad, then I don't know, maybe you give it some credit, but you have to make an educated decision based on the life that you want to live. Otherwise, you'll just continually flip-flop and really never make a decision going forward. So I hope that helps, Benjamin.
amazing question. And anyone else who might be feeling this kind of pull between reviews and hype and just generally not sure what direction to take. As a reminder, if you have an Ask Shauna question, head on over to the link in the show notes. You can send me your question. You can send it anonymously. I don't even have to read your name, but I would love to answer your question. And I'm sure everyone else listening would love to hear your question as well. You know that business idea that you've had that is lurking in your head? I think it's time you breathe some life into it and make it a reality. Take it from me, someone who's been creating business ideas for over 20 years now. For me, it all starts with a name. What are you going to call your new business idea or company? Once you've got a stellar name in mind, head quickly over to Bluehost.com to register your URL and set up your website hosting before someone else snags your amazing name. I have over 25 URLs registered on Bluehost, just in case I want to use them in the future. And what I love about Bluehost is how affordable it is to register your domain and get your website up and running fast. With my special URL, bit.ly/BluehostMoney, you can register your domain name and set up hosting for your website all for only $3.95 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee to start building your business empire. Again, head on over to bit.ly/BluehostMoney to get this special offer. Do you think there's ever comes this like tipping point for the consumer where there's almost too much to choose from like a digital money management tool perspective, like trying to figure out like, well, this app's got this and this one's got that. And like everything is almost so segmented that it becomes more confusing than the purpose of it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Cause how many apps do you want to have to manage your finances? I mean, ideally you want one. And I think that that's where the advantage of the banks that they can really exploit is look which applications are really taking off. Do some smart acquisitions where, you know, for example, like Mint is built right into the actual banking platform that they have, or, you know, an investment service like Acorn. So I think that if they can make some smart acquisitions, customers are going to benefit from that because it's one place to go to. That's what we expect is like these conveniences, one place to do all of our stuff. Like Amazon's a great example.
Right.
You know, they're like synonymous with personalization and premium omni-channel customer experiences. Like they're taking that a step farther. And, you know, I'm not sure if you've heard of the anticipatory chip model that they have, but which they patented 5 years ago. What it is essentially is that they are now planning to ship products to customers before customers say they want them.
that's fantastic. That's really going to help us a lot with our debt too, right?
Well, exactly, right? So, look, they talked publicly about it earlier this year. And so you know what that means. Within 18 months, we're going to see it. So that, and that brings up a really good point, which is in today's digitally transformed era, look, spending money has never been easier. You know, Amazon, you're bored at night. You can order up a bunch of stuff. You don't even remember what you ordered. you want to grab, you know, a ride, grab a Lyft. You want, you know, food, Just Eat, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats. Like it's so easy to spend money. And that's why I think for millennials and Gen Z, we need these money management tools. We need banks to help us with that because it's a quick way to really spiral. And that's why Level Money is really good because it'll look at how much you spend and say, look, based on that and all your expenses, you're fixed and variable. You have that much to spend every month on leisurely things.
Yeah. It's such a good point. I mean, it's really one of the like foundational elements of why I do this podcast is just to at least have a place where we could break down the taboos about talking about money, but also that we could become aware of these things so that, of course we're going to get our Ubers and our Amazons and all sorts of things, but we also have some sort of insight to not, you know, let the ship like totally flip over.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, what we need is, we need also, like it starts in education too. I think what we need is schools to really start to add, you know, personal finance to the curriculum. And the last stats that I was reading anyway was that it was only 16% of students in the U.S. are required to take a personal finance course to graduate from high school.
Yes.
And so, like, what are we doing with bridging that financial literacy gap?
I think it's like a moral and ethical problem question. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Really believe, like, if we're teaching all these other subjects, like, money is, it touches every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
So there is some sort of responsibility to at least have a foundational education. Whether you forget it all or not, that's a whole other question. But at least to have a familiarity and to have it not be this taboo topic.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, some schools are making steps. I mean, I'm speaking specifically as we look at high school, like that K-12 segment. I mean, some schools are bringing in tools, you know, like Mint and TurboTax and stuff like that to actually have students learn real world, I'll call them like life skills. Like, these aren't really finance skills. These
exactly.
are life skills. And so, you know, if you can have students wanting to talk about personal finances with their parents and talk about, you know, their taxes, I think that that's a really important conversation. So I think that what education needs to do is look at how they bring these real world tools into the classroom. And there's tons of free programs. This is what kills me, is that the schools don't have to pay for that. Like, you know, I know for a fact, like, for example, the Mint and TurboTax stuff, you can get that in your classroom for free for schools. Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah, I beg the question. Yeah, I have no answer. It's completely disheartening.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, as we look at how society is changing and it's so easy to spend money, I think that these kind of fundamental life skills are really, really important. So I really hope we have more empowered educators that can help with this, because, like, look, Gen Z, I think that they're growing up in a time where everything is on demand. You know, I've got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old who are part of Gen Z, and like my 8-year-old and 5-year-old will touch every screen and thinking it's a touch screen, and I'm like, no, that's a screen, and they're thinking it's broken. So they're growing up in this different era. So there's like a lot of, you know, these life skills, it's like societal things too. I don't want to get too much off topic, but, like, you know, for example, I look at the way my kids talk to Alexa or Google Home.
I love that.
And they're taught all the time. And sometimes they're using it for school homework, and other times it's putting on like ridiculous content on the TV. But like, all of these voices are female voices. And so how are we talking to these devices? We're snapping at them saying, do this for me, do that for me. These are like broader societal impact that I think we need to think about with digital transformation. Like, I think we're going to need to figure that out. I think I look at other things, like just how they, how they're so addicted to the dopamine hit of getting likes and comments and stuff like that.
For sure.
I think that that's another thing that we need to watch out for. And we're, you know, even Facebook talked publicly and Instagram talked publicly about how they withhold likes on accounts whereby, you know, you post something like, wait, how come nobody liked it? And then they release all, you get 10, 15 likes at once. It's a dopamine hit. It's addiction. So we need to figure out, okay, if the gamification works, then how do we maybe bring that back to financial literacy? How do we bring that back to, you know, banking, where, you know, maybe we can drive some education in that same way. But anyway, more societal.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious of all this like research that you've done on banks and financial apps. Is there anything, like, any money lessons that you've learned through investigating all these companies that have like helped you with your own financial journey?
Yeah, I think that the biggest one is that a lot of people think that you need a ton of money to invest. And so what I really like about the Acorns platform is that it actually flipped it on its head. It said, listen, what we'll do is we'll automatically invest some spare change from your purchases. So it'll round it up to the next dollar. So you buy something for $24.80, it'll round it up to $25. And once you hit a $5 threshold, it takes that money out of your, like it withdraws it and it puts it into a personalized stock portfolio. And what I like about that is that it takes that scary concept of investing and it makes it just very accessible and super affordable. Cause I think it's like $1 a month is what these things start at. So, I would say that, look, you may not, especially like the leading Gen Z and millennials, you may not be making, you know, a whole lot today, but there are lots of platforms out there, that will help you save. And if you start now with these small amounts, like the spare change roundups, you can actually have a meaningful retirement, or a retirement fund. So I would say you gotta start now. Like it sounds, you know, when growing up, people would always say that, oh, you gotta start investing your money. But there are now apps and solutions that make it so easy and it's fun.
I love that. Wow. Andrew, this has been so fantastic. I'd love for you to leave us maybe like one piece of advice or wisdom that you think maybe everyone should remember when it comes to thinking about like the relationship between themselves, their money, and banks.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, you know, it goes back really to like, there's, you can start saving money now with a little bit of money. And just like the plethora of apps that are out there, like the kickback apps too, that you can make an extra buck. I would just say, you know, when you're sitting there at night, and I can relate to this because it happens to me all the time. And you know, you're bored and you fire up Amazon, think twice. Do I really need to buy that? Because I think that if we can, you know, activate that prefrontal cortex a little bit more and get that rational thinking, it can save us from a lot of financial hardship. So those, like, you know, those spends that you don't need to make, just think twice about it. Maybe how about this? Here's an actionable tip. Take Amazon off your home screen of your phone so that it's one extra step that you have to scroll to get that app before you make a spend that maybe you don't need to.
I love that. That's such a great piece of advice. But Andrew, this has been great. I'd love for you to tell listeners where they can find you and connect with you.
Absolutely. So they can find me on LinkedIn. Andrew Au, last name AU. So yeah, send me a note on LinkedIn. Would love to connect and always would love to hear from people in terms of, you know, what content do they want to know? I mean, you know, I talk a lot about millennials, new market economies, and digital transformation. So really anything around like, what does the future of this industry look like? Or even a common one is like, what do we put our kids into now? You know, what are the jobs of the future? What does the class of 2030 look like? So hit me up on LinkedIn and would love to have a conversation.
There's nothing better than having a good conversation with somebody about a topic that I'm also super passionate about. Whether it's traditional banks or the way we save for retirement, digital apps are no doubt creating this new money reality for us. And I don't know about you, but it makes me excited for money and for the future and just all the different ways that we can interact with our money in an easy, approachable way. If you want to connect with Andrew, head on over to his LinkedIn profile. The link will be in the show notes. And listen, if you've enjoyed this episode, jump over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and share the Millennial Money love with your friends. Until next time, I'll see you back here for a fresh new episode.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/cdspecials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.